Live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. And our thanks to highspeedweb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Well, we're going to be talking sports today, and it's not football, and it's not basketball. It is tennis, specifically Winthrop tennis. And we have with us today Julie Boucher, who is from Winthrop University, and the one and the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Sergey Bulov, who is not only a player but a coach and everything involved. And if you haven't caught the news, hard to believe, back I think it was in June, word was received that Winthrop needed to make some cuts to make its budget work, particularly in the athletic department, and the tennis program was shuttered, and that was the end of it. And these two people and others are trying to bring it back to life. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So, Julie, tell us a little bit about you.
Yes. So I am a 2000 graduate of Winthrop University, along with my husband. I ran cross-country track. He played baseball, had a wonderful time at Winthrop, afforded me many great opportunities, and I love my university. So I felt that I needed to step up and make this right for our tennis teams.
All right. Sergey?
So I graduated in 2011. I was former player. I also was an assistant coach and a head coach at Winthrop University for the men's team. My wife also graduated from Winthrop. She played for the tennis team. She was one of the best players there on the tennis team. And so, yeah, it was kind of a shocking news when this happened.
I love your southern accent. It's a good one.
I know.
Where are you from? What's your native country?
Russia.
Russia?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I used to go out and watch some of the tennis matches when they were playing here at home. And whew, tennis in 2020 is a lot different than when I played tennis. You guys and ladies hit that ball real, real hard. All right, so the news came to you. You had no advance warning. It was just all of a sudden an announcement that the program had been shuttered, correct?
Yeah.
And how is it that somebody who never played the game, you or your husband, said, I got to get involved with this?
Well, full disclosure, I started playing tennis about 5 years ago, and my husband started playing about 4 years ago. So we do play some tennis socially. I found out the news through Facebook, and a fraternity guy that I was connected with posted the story, and I just couldn't believe it, because I had been to college in the late 90s, when after that 93 accident, the 97 men's team won the championship. So I know what a personal toll Winthrop tennis had an effect on the community as a whole. And I just felt like they are such a dominant team. How is this the team that is given up on?
We could spend at least the whole show, if not another hour, talking about all the accomplishments. There have been more Big South titles won by the men's and the ladies' tennis teams than all the other sports combined on the Winthrop University campus. I mean, it's been a big, big success. It almost got boring on the women's side because they win the Big South Championship every year. So, very well established. And I'm sure the decision was not an easy one to make for anybody involved, but the reasoning was, as the university explained, was it cost them about $800,000 a year, all expenses wrapped into that, to have a tennis program, and it's not really a spectator sport that produces any revenue. You would agree or disagree with all that?
I would politely disagree, because unfortunately there are non-revenue generating sports, but they do bring in revenue on the net bottom line in terms of tuition. And if we look specifically at the men's program, there are 10 men on that team, and they share in 3.76 scholarships. meaning that what those men pay in tuition, when we did the numbers ourselves, it was equal to or more than the cost to run the program, which includes travel expenses, the value of those 3.76 scholarships. It also includes any of their, you know, I guess, expenses.
When they come in, they pay for their housing, they pay for books, they pay for cafeteria when they go to eat. They also pay their scholarships. So this money is something that brings money to school. Now, as we talked earlier today, a lot of athletes, such as myself, I wouldn't be going to Winthrop if they didn't have a Winthrop tennis.
Right.
A lot of these kids, yes, they're keeping their scholarships and they're going to be in school for some time, but they're not looking to stay here unless they can play for the team, because their main goal in life is to finish their college. It was a great experience playing for a team, competing, having that great experience they can carry on throughout their life. And if they don't have it, I don't think there'll be any reason to stay, even if they get some type of scholarship here.
Yeah, and you don't want to just dismiss students from campus altogether. These are academically very high-achieving teams, and they bring a lot into the classroom in terms of their global experience. I know political science professors, business professors, they love to have a lot of the international students that the tennis players are, because it adds to the experience for the entire student body. So eliminating students onto the campus, we don't feel is an ideal thing.
Yeah, plus on top of that, you can see that we have students that are coming from Ecuador and other countries. It's out-of-state students. They bring out-of-state money to the school, but they also bring their cousins that don't play tennis. They bring their friends that don't play tennis, and that brings even more people to the school. So.
Well, I think your point is an interesting point. It would be, if I was in school, to have a classmate like you from Russia, boy, I can imagine the conversations we would have. Tell me what's really going on over there. Is there really a vaccine?
I'll take the fifth.
Yeah, I bet you would. But there's a lot of lines to go with that. All right, so you didn't buy in to the... the decision to eliminate the men's and women's tennis teams. And so as a result, a group of you got together and said, okay, how can we try to turn this around? Tell me how that all came about.
Oh, well, I think it happened. I think a lot of people just either within the tennis community or just within the athletic community or just the Rock Hill community just started figuring out, how can I help? I know I personally reached out to someone who I knew within the Rock Hill Tennis Center. She passed my name along to someone else. The group formed relatively quickly, but it took a solid 2 to 3 weeks for us to start formulating a plan. We knew that we had to get the costs of the tennis courts, because the $1.3 million value that we saw on that in that Associated Press article, we didn't feel was accurate. And to do a lot of the research, and if you look at the presentation before you, there's a solid 30 pages of, and a lot of them have a great deal of numbers. So if you're a numbers geek, you will probably love our presentation. But it took a great deal of work to get to that point.
I'm sure the administration would be very proud that its graduating students have the skill set to address the problem in the way that you have, because this is very detailed.
Yes, Winthrop afforded us a wonderful education, and we say that all of the time.
All right. So I'm sitting here with this presentation in front of me, and we don't have time to go through 30 pages of it. But obviously the big thing, well, there's a couple of big things. Number one, the overall cost of the program. $800,000, which you disagree with that number, and I got it. I got that. The repair to the courts, you disagree with that number. So you went out and got some bids?
We got bids from four companies. Two of them came back, full renovations of the courts, which include the foundation and drainage issues, 20-plus year warranty on a new hard court surface that the pros actually prefer playing on, because it feels a little bit softer on the body, but reacts the same as hard courts. We have two bids of less than $600,000. We also have the U.S. Tennis Association coming forth with a grant to help in those costs as well. So, you know, when you start factoring everything in, it is significantly less than the quote that we saw that Winthrop revealed to the Associated Press.
All right, so round one goes to you. All right,
okay.
Got that. Now, the big thing, if I was sitting on that board of trustees, I would say, that's great. You guys have done great. I'm proud of you. Super, super. But it's going to cost us several hundred thousand dollars. We'll just say several hundred thousand dollars a year to operate the program. You know, cost of the coaches, travel, all that kind of stuff. That's going to be a recurring expense. How are you going to address the recurring expense?
So our plan is self-sustaining, and when you look at the numbers in total, it does prove that Winthrop will be net neutral or net positive for the next 7 years. When you do have new courts, you do now have the ability to not only do court sponsorships in terms of, you know, ongoing fundraising to name the courts,
right.
But you are also able to hold tournaments, clinics, camps. All of those things bring money into the university. We have 12 courts at Winthrop University. The Rock Hill Tennis Center has 11 courts. When we can partner together, we can host larger USTA-sanctioned events, which brings in not only great value to the Rock Hill community, but also brings in dollars on both sides. So we have it's a very self-sustaining plan, and I think all sports need to think about how can we generate revenue outside of the tuitions or outside of the ticket sales. And that's something that we've got evidence of within our plan.
Yeah, again, I've got a 30-page detailed proposal as to how this thing's going to work. And from talking with people that play tennis actively at the Rock Hill Tennis Center, there are many times when they're out of space on the courts. They need more courts. It wasn't too long ago that Rock Hill had no courts. And then Winthrop built its courts, and then the city of Rock Hill built its courts, and now we've lost the Winthrop courts, and yet the population's growing, and we got more people playing tennis, and yeah, I got it. All right.
Yeah, and believe it or not, the Charlotte metro area is the second largest metro area for tennis outside of Atlanta in the entire USTA southern region, which constitutes 9 states.
And that comes from where? The USTA?
That comes from the USTA.
I never would have guessed that. That's a very interesting factoid. All right, so you've got this information together. What else is in this? Well, I know there's one other thing that you wanted to bring up, and it's interesting. Right now, with tennis being shuttered, Winthrop is right on the bubble for losing its Division I status, correct?
That is correct.
And that's determined by the numbers of men's and women's sports?
NCAA requires that to maintain Division I status, you must have 6 men's sports and 8 women's sports. With tennis eliminated, that is exactly where we're at now. So you lose one more sport, and we don't know what is going to happen with COVID and future budget cuts, but if you lose one more sport, you drop down to Division II, and that would be detrimental, especially to our basketball program that brings in the revenue to the athletic department. So if there is an opportunity to bring back 2 very high achieving sports with great academics, you get free courts, and it's self-sustaining for the next 7 years, and we've got evidence of that with our fundraising efforts and the plan, then why would we not reinstate?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the fundraising, because again, I think that's going to be key. I'm not going to use that phrase on the air. But you've got pledges right now, correct?
We do have GoFundMe dollars, and then we have conditional letters of intent, so pledges, yes.
And you are sitting right now roughly with all that?
Roughly about $800,000, with the goal of being at $1 million in the hopefully not too distant future, which is more than what technically our plan needs to support itself.
Well, the more is better.
More is better, because then we can start potentially adding in scholarships or adding in lights and adding in other things that we have cut out.
And when you look at this list of donors through the GoFundMe or just whatever, alumni, What have you got? Maybe 50 people or 60 people? Or
we probably have that amount. And I think it's really important for the university to know that quite a few of our donors have either never given to the university at all or never given to the athletic department. So when we can bring in donors that have never been donors in the past, I think those need to be taken seriously because they are potential donors for the future. And at a time like now, we can use all the donors that we can get.
So if I was on the Board of Trustees, I think I would want to ask the question, are you pretty sure that these are solid donors, that this is not just...
Without a doubt.
All right. And so the range of the donations, what, from $10 to $100?
So on the GoFundMe, I think our lowest donor has been $5, and we will not discount any $5 donation to GoFundMe because it does add up.
Sergey, you could have given more than $5.
hey, come on now. We have to pay taxes, you know what I'm saying?
This ain't Russia. Come on, pal.
And then through our conditional letters of intent, we have donors who have pledged in the six figures. We have several of those. Several of them are women, I'm not going to lie.
That's fine.
That's fantastic. It makes a fantastic media story. This is a great opportunity for Winthrop to get some very positive national media attention by reinstating these championship teams. And we hope everyone wants to be a part of that.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, as I told you, Julie, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Anybody who's anybody knows how they make a fresh sub or salad here. And it's in the white letters, and we're all going to say it together at the count of three. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Cruise to financial freedom with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. With our low rates, there's no better time to apply. Get a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days by applying for your auto loan early so you know what to look for before you start shopping. You can also use our auto loan calculator in Founders Online to set your budget and plan ahead. Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by
Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, Julie Boucher and Sergey Bulov are with us today from the Winthrop Tennis Task Force, Save Winthrop Tennis Task Force. A lot of very interesting data they've put together, and the next step, of course, is to go to the Board of Trustees and say, look, problem solved. We got commitments to rebuild those courts. We got a revenue stream for you over the next 7 years. Let's reinstate the program and get it going here whenever, next spring or next fall. So it's interesting that while we're living in this pandemic, a lot of the team sports, you know, like basketball and football and what have you, all have question marks in front of them. Yet when you watch golf, they're playing golf again, no crowds. Tennis, I would imagine, Sergey, is exactly the same way. I mean, you got plenty of distance between you.
Yes, it's totally right. And we had 4 weeks when we were shut down and everybody were staying at home. But past that and before and after that, we're pretty active, our club specifically. Everybody came back. Everybody's playing. During the lessons, for example, our clients don't even have to touch the balls that we're using. So we have a big basket. They cannot serve. So if they prefer to serve, they can bring their own balls, serve. We're staying quite far from each other. It's about 24 feet, so the chance of getting sick almost at zero.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, New York Times and Washington Post said that tennis was the most safe sport in outside of all the sports. Even safer than golf somehow. So that, you tell me how, but that's what they said.
Well, if you get hit with a tennis ball, it's a lot less painful than you hit with a golf
ball.
All right, so Rock, we got our act together. Your task force has done a real good job. And again, I'm sitting here with a 30-page presentation that should make everybody at Winthrop who taught these young men and women what to do in the real world very proud, because this is well thought out, well done. So the next step is Board of Trustees, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
And do you have a date yet for that?
We have not been, we are not on the agenda yet. We know that the Board of Trustees are obviously dealing with a ton of COVID-related issues and budgets and potential furloughs and who knows what's going on. So instead of one fall meeting, they decided, I guess they just redid the schedule that it looks like there were three meetings. There was kind of an emergency meeting this past Friday to discuss one subject. The meeting, next meeting is on August 25th, and then they added another date of September the 25th. We feel that September the 25th would be the most ideal date to present to them, because we know that they have other things that are really pressing, especially with the startup of school, that they're going to be talking about on August 25th.
Have, to your knowledge, have any of the trustees or any of the athletic department administration been following your progress on this?
Yes, we know that everyone has probably been following our progress. We did have meetings with the athletic department last week, and I know additional meetings are being set up. We have had meetings with, we did have quite a few finance and math professors take a look at our proposal, in addition to folks within other sections of Winthrop, and I know it's gone across the president's desk. We do have members of the Board of Trustees who are supportive and do want to hear us out. So that is the goal, is to get on the agenda, hopefully for September the 25th. Now, if seven Board of Trustees members want to hear us out earlier than that, then they can call a special meeting to do so, and we would perfectly welcome it.
I guess the only question in all this, I mean, if everything is as you have presented it here, the only question you'd have to, in my mind, if I was sitting on the trustees, are the pledges all good?
Yeah.
Can we count on that? And I think I would come back to you and say, okay, you get that money in the bank and get those, you know, whatever more firm commitments.
Right.
And we'll restart this thing and get it going. Because if all these numbers on all these spreadsheets are as you have extrapolated them to be, why not? I mean,
And we would perfectly accept, you know, the fact is these programs, we don't know what's going to happen with spring sports. These programs may not start until next fall.
Sure.
And so the timeline would be to reinstate under suspension potentially or as soon as possible. So they are reinstated. So then there is a much easier. It's great for our coaches to know that they would have a secure job that their athletes are all coming back, that they wouldn't have to look at transferring schools. So to reinstate under suspension, knowing that the programs technically are not starting until fall of next year, that gives us the spring to redo the tennis courts and start generating income from that.
Now, we've already lost the women's coach. Is that correct?
Unfortunately, yes. She could not wait any further, and she has, and it's so sad because she is a product of Winthrop tennis herself, right, Sergey?
Yeah, she was an assistant. She played professionally, so she didn't play for Winthrop, but she played professionally. She was 230 in the world. She's bringing great experience. She knows more than anybody about tennis. And a lot of colleges wanted her. So yeah. And she wanted to stay here, but just at this circumstance, she couldn't.
Yeah,
she couldn't.
Unfortunately, but Coach John Collins has accepted that he would coach both teams, and that's what the plan is right now.
Have we lost any of the tennis players themselves yet?
I'm not.
I think our number seven girl may have committed to a school up in the Dakotas, but I think beyond that, everyone else is coming back.
She'll rethink that when she gets
she probably
to the Dakotas.
Will. Yeah.
You need to tell her what winters are like up there. The courts are 10 feet under snow. All right, let's be the devil's advocate.
Okay.
Where is the hole in this program? I'm sure you're asking yourself, what have we missed?
We just want to make sure that the university knows that we do have serious donors. With serious money, with the potential to give further down the road. We've gone through the numbers, but we're going through the numbers once again with the athletic department for them to take a look at it. And I believe hopefully that meeting is set up in the next couple of days. I don't see a downfall to this presentation.
So what has the athletic department said to you in response? Because you've had some meetings with them. They know where you are on this plan.
Correct.
What is their reaction to it?
I don't think that they can say anything publicly.
Well, that's fine. What are they hinting at across the table? What's Halpin telling you?
Well, you'll have to ask Halpin that.
Have you met with Halpin?
Yes. Dr. Halpin and Hank Harewood were on the call.
Just had Harewood on the air here just about 10 days ago.
So then you can ask him those questions.
I
want to say that with Bowling Green, the Bowling Green baseball team, they had gotten canceled, much like us. Their alumni came up, and their athletic department and university said, hey, you guys come up with the $500,000 in the plan, we will happily reinstate you. We would love to have that advocacy inside.
I understand. Let me go back to the question. You've had some meetings with Hank Harewood. You've had some meetings with Dr. Halpin over there. Not asking you to quote them, but did you get a warm and fuzzy?
I think they wanted to work with us, yes.
Okay.
They wanted to work to find the solution.
All right. And they've heard the same thing that we're hearing today. I mean, in terms of the commitments you've got.
Correct.
And the recurring dollars and the repair of the courts.
Correct.
And all that. I mean, I can't imagine they wouldn't want to do it.
I can't either.
What's to lose? Unless there's some kind of a hole in this program that we just don't know about because they haven't given you all the expense information or whatever. You're off and running. Keep us posted because we do want to do an update on this, okay?
Absolutely. We want to come back.
All right, because we've run out of time, right? And that's going to be it. That's going to end is there a website to follow all this?
Yeah, so if you're Save Winthrop Tennis on all social media. If you're interested in being a conditional letter of intent, send an email to savewinthroptennis@outlook.com. Just follow us on all the social media. We will get you all the contact information you need.
And keep tuned to the radio because we'll try to update you as well. So that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, she did so well the first time, we're going to do it one more time. We prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes here at Substation 2. The magical way is right there on the cue card for everybody to see and recite together at the count of three. I want you to give us your best Southern accent here, Sergey. You ready?
I'll give it a shot.
All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Gordon, Gordon, Gordon.
That's
there
it.
You go.
Gordon, Gordon, Gordon. I like that. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.